Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. South Florida native Sean Snyder's debut film is a dark comedy that features a most unexpected partnership. Geza Rorick, star of the Academy Award-winning film Son of Saul, plays a cantor in the Hasidic Jewish community who loses his wife to cancer. His character, struggling with her passing, and has nightmares over the idea that her body is not yet decomposed and returned to the earth. So he forms an alliance with a stoner biology professor at the local community college, Albert, played by Matthew Broderick. Here's a clip from the trailer.
We have on our hands a woman. She was buried 6 feet under back in June. What's that body going to look like right about now?
Where did you say you were from?
The film follows the bizarre partnership as Schmel seeks real answers to difficult questions like, when do our bodies actually become a part of the earth? And when do we turn to dust? The film opens in theaters across South Florida this week. We have details on our social media at WLRN Sundial. Schneider is the film's director and co-writer. Joins us now in studio. Sean, great to have you here, man.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Such a pleasure to have
you. Grew up listening to this station.
Oh, fantastic. And also joining us in studio, the star of the film, Geza Rorick, who is in town for the South Florida release. Geza, it's such a pleasure. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Also to note, by the way, Sean, we should say this, that, you know, this is a welcome back for you because you used to be, you've done Michael Stock's show.
Yeah, many times over a decade ago, which feels like a lifetime. But yeah.
So there you go. So this is a little bit of a homecoming for you. You know what? I want to start with you. I mean, you're not Orthodox Jewish. You don't have any direct connections to the forensic anthology, anthropology that you bring up in the movie. But where did the inspiration for this come from? Why do you want to tell this story?
So this film, there are a lot of sort of latent threads throughout my life that took a long time to intersect with this very odd and specific and deeply personal movie. But the sort of emotional core and the earliest foundations of it come from my own experiences with grief. I lost my mom 10 years ago to melanoma down here in South Florida. And I come from a Reformed Jewish background, which certainly isn't a Hasidic background, and yet there is a Jewish way of grieving. And if there's timelines and rituals and guideposts through that process of mourning, and I've always found those timelines, sort of that Jewish way of mourning, to be incredibly profound and wise and life-affirming in the face of loss. And yet this experience of my own grief spilling outside of the boundaries of that and needing its own expression. So the movie very much is how do we deal with our cultures of origin? How do we find meaning in an idiosyncratic way alongside that or atop that? And you know, especially with a human experience as universal as loss.
Now take me back to your youth growing up. Because you grew up in Kendall, but then you also lived in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, grew up in Kendall, went to Beth Am Day School.
Yeah.
Was bar mitzvahed at Beth Am Day School, moved up to West Hollywood, Cooper City, and went to middle school and high school at University School. Shout outs to the...
all of that seems like, I mean, it did play some role in helping you to develop this story.
This film was unlocked in a very strange and specific way. It was with this thought about thinking about science and storytelling, and it was incubated with grants from the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, and this idea of how do we tell stories about science. And somehow that strange gauntlet, sort of, to put yourself in this box and think about that, unlocked all these threads throughout my life. So I studied religion at Harvard as an undergrad. I've had my own journeys with Judaism and the Jewish ethos and all of that. I mean, it was in the soil here in South Florida, my experiences with grief, my foundations of Judaism. And as I've waxed and waned in my own Jewish journey, which is always an ongoing pilgrimage, the foundations, the humanism, the ethics, the dialectic, you know, how do we ask questions with more questions and we remain humble, that idea of sort of human connection and return to the tradition. You sort of go away from it and you come back. All of that foundational stuff, you know, comes from Beth Am Day School. And
this is a very personal story for you. Geza, you approach this project. You have a background in Orthodox Judaism, but what was your first impression when you saw the script?
I was blown away. I was reading it with my wife late night in the bed after putting the kids into bed. And, you know, generally when you read scripts, you sort of after 10, 15 page, you know where it's heading to. And here we were like page 50 and we still had no idea what's the next twist or turn's gonna be. So I found it very unique and it was a no-brainer for me to be interested. And especially after meeting Sean, I was very lucky. I joined this whole project like a good year before shooting. So we had plenty of time to talk it over with Sean. This is his first feature, and I felt the movie is in such a good hands. It's generally a good idea for an actor to engage in a movie when the director actually wrote the script, because then he really knows the ins and the outs.
You know, all right, so a couple of things that I want to ask you about is, and first I think it's really good to understand the foundation of this faith and why the decomposition of a body into the earth is so significant to the beliefs. Help us understand that.
Well, the idea here is that he's being visited by these nightmares, right? He keeps seeing that his body's decay is not as fast or as smooth as it should be. He has visions and all that. So he's very bothered by the fact that his travel to the other side somehow is being stopped or slowed down. And first he wants to help her as much as he can, but later on this becomes almost threatening to him. He could lose his mind in this. Meanwhile, he's a father of twins. He has to be responsible for his sons. So this is a journey of healing. I view this very odd and unlikely friendship that he forms with Albert, played by Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
They both have to step out from their comfort zone. They generally, these folks don't meet. One is a Hasidic Jew and the other one is a pot smoker, a biology teacher in a community college. But somehow they are both lost souls and they have so much to give to each other. And I think I find the movie quite realistic in this way. I think when we go through really hard and dark times, I think we form relationships which we wouldn't necessarily do other times of our lives.
It seemed to me as I'm watching this film, like, you know, your character, and I did what Matthew Broderick's character and everybody else seemed to do in the movie, which is mispronounce the name and think that the character's a rabbi. Yeah. You know, there was the scene, for example, when you go to you wanted to talk to somebody who sells caskets.
The funeral home.
Yes. Thank you. That's the one. Because he went everywhere.
A very Christian funeral home.
Oh my goodness. So he goes there and this guy's trying to sell, you know, basically the casket.
Right.
But your character wants to know, how does it deconstruct? That's how he kept saying it. Deconstruct. Yeah. And he couldn't get an answer. It was very frustrating for him.
Yeah.
He really wanted to know how long it's going to take and how fast, and because he wanted it to be over.
Yeah, that was his first step in this inquiry. And I think it's part because Hasidic Jews are sort of undereducated scientifically, unfortunately. And since they so much believe, I think he was unprepared for losing her, because I assume the community and the family was just keep saying it's gonna be all right, pray harder. And so even it was stage four and it was predictable that she can't recuperate, I think when it happened it shocked him so bad.
I do think even outside of the specificity of the faith and the idea of this movie is that, you know, we hope to reach something universal through the very odd specificity, not just of the world and of the science and of the faith, but of the tone, you know, to tap into some universal experience. And I always find that, I don't know, we have very complicated relationships with death and not very healthy relationships with death. I think that these thoughts about a decomposing body are things that we don't want to admit to, societally, individually, culturally. But I think that we all have those questions inside us, and they're macabre and they're morbid, but they're very human questions. And I'm always amazed, whether it's informed by a sense of the afterlife, by religion, and a sense of the soul, we anthropomorphize the dead. The most atheistic person will say, I feel like grandpa might be cold down there. And this idea about, even within ourselves, are we torn between, do we want that body to remain pristine, or do we want it to dissemble. You know,
and you know what? Because it the character's always having this nightmare, and he sees the wife's toe just basically, decompose, but also like almost explode and blossom into what looks like sort of a very ugly flower. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're basically looking at the skin just open up and, you know, it's that fear, right, of what's really happening down there? What's really happening to her? What's going to happen to all of us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Talking with Sean Snyder, the director and co-writer of the new film To Dust, which is out in theaters this week. Snyder grew up in Kendall in Fort Lauderdale. Also joining me in studios is the lead actor in the film, Geza Rohrig. And you can find ticket information, screening information on our social media, WLRN Sundial. It is a dark comedy. Really fascinating, though, as we've been hearing this question of, you know, what does happen afterwards and how do we handle that? How do we handle the death of a loved one? Now, an essential part of this film, the film's success, is the chemistry between Matthew Broderick and your character, Shmuel. I'm saying it right, right? See, I'm doing what they did in the movie. It's
Shmuel.
Shmuel. Okay. Because right. Everybody kept saying it wrong.
Right.
Shmuel. Okay, Shmuel's character. And I want to take us to the scene where you bring in a pig, a live pig to Albert's house, and you want to kill it to bury it, and Albert has no idea that you're showing up.
You know, this pig probably has a home, you know? It might be some young farm girl's pig that you... Heidi misses her pig, Schmel. Did anybody see you?
I don't think so.
Now, listen, I'm a professor, and you are a rabbi. And I think that you have seriously crossed the stated boundaries of the professor-rabbi relationship.
I'm not a rabbi. I'm a shaliach tzibur.
I don't know what that is.
It's a cantor.
I don't care.
I'm a Jew, Albert.
Oh.
And I just can't. I can't.
I can't? What?
I stole the pig. It is only fair if you kill it.
But what?
First of all, Sean, I had to get Matthew Broderick on board.
This project, again, I keep going back to the fact that it's so deeply odd and strange, and therapy through art and my own mourning process through cinema. And you put this out into the world, and it seems like it's vulnerable and it's the least likely idea that's going to find traction or get greenlit or find its champions. And yet somehow it has, at every single turn, found its champions, and that started with the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation and producers who serendipitously came on board when they found the script through the Tribeca Film Institute, Emily Mortimer, Alessandro Nivola, Ron Perlman, all incredible actors with their own production company who wanted to make this movie not as a vanity project, but as an idea, you know, just to help bring this movie to life because they found resonance with it. And you're sort of, you know, you daydream about who you might be able to work with, and Matthew Broderick is such a, you know, part of the canon of any child who grew up in the 80s.
Absolutely.
And when you get producers like Emily and Alessandro and Ron, the keys to the candy store are opened up and we can start really daydreaming. And when we stumbled upon the idea of Matthew, it was like a revelation, an epiphany, because it's tethered to his body of work, but I think it subverts it and broadens it in ways that we're not accustomed to seeing. And then he came on, you know, we sat... He was interested, and then the next thing I know, I'm sitting over a bottle of wine with Matthew Broderick, and very quickly, we're not just talking about the practicalities of the film, but about our own experiences with grief and our deceased parents and showing each other pictures of our children on our cell phones and connecting the thematic depths and the emotional depths of the film.
You know, and look, I mean, at its core, this is, again, a movie about death and about grieving, about our belief about death and what happens next. I wanted to get a sense from you, you know, because it's also got these funny moments, and I'm thinking, why am I laughing about this movie? But it is funny, and I'm wondering, like, that relationship you have with Matthew as you guys are working through the scene. Your character is so serious. It's just trying to get an answer, and he's really like, I don't want to talk to you, I don't want to help you, but he ends up helping you. And you guys, I mean, you have scenes where you're out burying a pig in the middle of the woods, but, I mean, what was that like working with him?
Well, Matthew Broderick is a great actor. I mean, he has started this at 18, and, you know, he made countless movies, and I'm such a rookie. I was just trying to learn all his secrets, and he's very laid back and easygoing and helpful, so it was really a true pleasure to work with him. Very nice guy.
You know what? I wanted to ask you about, like, for example, one scene, and I wanted to dive into this, into the science of it, which I think is really fascinating. At one point, there's a scene where the two of you go to a body farm in Tennessee, and this is to learn about how bodies decompose. And, you know, these places really do exist. But what did you know about all of this, by the way, Geza, before you started filming?
Well, I knew about the somatic aspect of death actually quite a lot, because I was without a green card for 8 years in this country. And one way that I was able to keep myself over the border is that I washed dead bodies. That's what I did.
You washed them?
Yeah. It's a ritual Orthodox thing. You know, male bodies have to be washed before, just like a newborn baby, in a dignified way to prepare them for the big journey. And so that part I was familiar with, but I did not at all know that there are such things as body farms. So you had better ask Sean about that. Because
the body farm scene too, by the way, I mean, you go, the two characters go, and this is, these places exist. Bodies are just left out in the field to decompose, to study how they decompose. You didn't get into one, but I mean,
I visited two. They were incredibly generous and gracious with their time and their insight. They were official scientific advisors on the film, but I couldn't cross that fence to see the bodies. There are seven in the United States, and the seventh is in Florida, up north of Tampa. And they're all based on climate regions, and they're to understand human decomposition for specifically forensic criminology and to sort of advance science and our understanding of that for the ends of justice. And they're just fascinating places, and the science is so young, and it's moving at such a breakneck pace that you ultimately realize there are an increasingly infinite number of factors that inform how any individual body is gonna decay.
I wanted to ask you real quickly, for both of you, what have you heard from audiences on this?
The reactions have been so exciting to get to travel the festival circuit and interact with audiences specifically. I think that, as I said before, in spite of or even because of the odd specificity of the film, it's supposed to tackle sort of the universality and the universality and the idiosyncratic nature of grief. And we connect with audiences, Jewish and non-Jewish alike, who understand that this film, last night at the Boca Jewish Film Festival, somebody said, I feel like this whole fever dream of a movie is an externalized manifestation of his internal process of grieving.
And real quick, Geza, I wanted to get a sense from you. What have you been hearing?
Well, people just keep hugging me after the Q&As. And they say it's a very rare occasion when you have a movie and then you can tear up and have like heartfelt laughs at the same time.
It is a touching, lovely movie, very sad at many times, very funny at many times. Again, Sean Snyder, the director and co-writer of the film. It's called To Dust. It stars Matthew Broderick and Geza Rohrig. Out in theaters this week. You can find tickets and screening information at WLRN Sundial on Facebook or Twitter. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Such a pleasure to talk to you. Love the film.
Thanks for having us.
All right, still to come, there are people in South Florida who want the University of Miami to return to greatness. We're going to talk to their new coach, Manny Diaz. That's coming up next.